Remember Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina, who claimed he was hiking the Appalachian Trail when he was really in Argentina visiting his mistress? And who can forget our own Representative Anthony Weiner, who was forced to resign after he sent pictures of his crotch to several women? A new play called Tail, Spin, looks at these and other recent political scandals using only verbatim transcripts of interviews, news conferences, court testimony, emails, texts, and tweets to hilarious effect. The show was created by Mario Correa and stars Rachel Dratch in a tour de force performance as all the women involved in these cases. It's on stage at the Lynn Redgrave Theater at the Culture Project on Bleecker Street, and I'm delighted to welcome both Mario Correa and Rachel Dratch to our show today.
Hi.
Hi, Leonard.
Rachel, you were here last year to talk about your role in the Shakespeare in the Park production of Love is Labor's Lost. Is this show a natural segue from that, which involved love letters falling into the wrong hands?
Oh, well, that's a good point, actually, but I think that's where the similarities end.
Well, I was wondering if these politicians could be characters from one of the Bard's goofy comedies.
Actually, yes, or tragedies in some cases, probably.
Mario, how did you come up with the concept for this show?
You know, I used to be a Hill staffer on Capitol Hill many years ago, and I knew one of the congressmen in question, Congressman Mark Foley, and I was always fascinated by the fact that he led a really sort of a double life. It was a very poorly kept secret that he was a gay man, but he was closeted externally, and I thought, I want to write a play, a fictional play, about someone like him who leads a double life. But then when I went into looking at the transcripts of his scandal for inspiration, I realized, you can't write this stuff, you can't make this stuff up, and that's when I realize we've got to use only the actual transcripts, tweets, texts, and expand it to these other scandals as well.
So you used the cases of Representative Mark Foley, Senator Larry Craig, Governor Mark Sanford, and Representative Anthony Weiner. But you could just as easily have done David Vitter or Scott DeJarlais or Vince McAllister. Why do you think so many family values politicians break their own rules?
Well, you know, I think a lot of politicians break the rules, and you're right, there's no dearth of material for all of these guys.
I could have come up with some other names, including
for sure,
former
John
president.
Edwards, Jim McGreevy from New Jersey. You know, I tried to find stories that really were interesting in their own right, unique, and had a message about what we all sort of do in terms of these foibles. So, but you're right, I mean, there are constant examples every day that become more available.
It always reminds me of when Psych 101, when you learn about reaction formation. Do you remember that? And it's like the person that is, you know, crusading against exploding children is actually sexting in the background.
Right.
So I always think of that Psych 101 term when I see these guys.
Now you use press conferences, interviews, texts, emails, tweets. This must have involved a lot of research.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I should credit my collaborator Google in this, because I really did fall into a lot of internet wormholes in finding all this stuff. And it's amazing what you find
out on
the internet. And you had to cull
through a lot of stuff, I'm sure, just to find the wonderful nuggets.
Yeah, you really do. And then you find these little, these small town papers that have, for example, like a sound file of one of the men who claimed he had sex with Senator Larry Craig in a bathroom in Union Station. And you hear this guy's voice, you know, with that weirdly sort of mutated thing, you know, describing the incident. You find some really crazy stuff, and most of that is in the play.
And what did Larry Craig say he was doing in the bathroom when he was caught?
He just has a wide stance because he has to spread his legs wide.
So he was touching the guy in the next stall's feet.
Right, exactly. Just he claimed it was a sting, and that now he understands what those who are profiled feel like.
Rachel, you play all the wives, tails, and beards, as well as Barbara Walters. How many characters in all?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I've counted. Is it like 7 or 8?
No, I think it's more about a dozen or so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
About a dozen, Leonard.
Okay. And
tails got it from the playwright here.
Tails and beards are slang terms. Can you explain what they mean?
I guess, I assume tails is like mistresses. Beards is, Mark Foley kind of had a beard, like a lady he would squire about town to pretend he was straight. So that's what a beard is.
And she was the former Miss Germany, no less.
Oh, yeah, former Miss Germany.
So Rachel appears in like a crown and all the rest of it, a sash.
Yes.
And then Barbara Walters, of course, which is her signature.
My signature piece.
I realize it's acting, but was it difficult to differentiate between all these women, especially the wives?
Good question.
Do you think that political wives all have similar public personas?
Well, you know what's funny? The ones that are easy are the ones with a really clear viewpoint. Like, I mean, Larry Craig's wife, she was just, you know, stand by your man all the way. She doesn't believe any of the stuff she's heard. So that's kind of an easier attitude to play.
She when you appreciates know what that he has a wide stance.
Yeah, I'm sure she fully believes wide stance. And like Jenny Sanford's kind of the opposite end. She's like, does not stand by her man. Even though she didn't have, if you look at her, she doesn't really have some big, you know, comedy thing you can latch on to as an impression. I just do her pretty much straight, but because her attitude is so clear, she's more easy to do too.
But these are the real life versions of the character that Juliana Margulies plays in The Good Wife.
Yeah, these are the inspiration for those. And you know what's really interesting is that when we get to the point in the story where Rachel plays Jenny Sanford, the audience is so excited. There's finally a woman who says, no, I'm not going to stand by this guy. I'm going to actually stand for my own beliefs in this, that Rachel gets all this applause. And then when Rachel does, Barbara Walters interrogating Jenny Sanford and basically talks to herself for the finale, it's I think, a real sort of release for the audience.
Now, Rachel, we have done research. And we found out you're playing 16 characters.
Oh, wow.
And we get super titles to tell us who's speaking. Would it have been too confusing otherwise?
Maybe. There's one section with Anthony Weiner where there's a lot of ladies he's talking to. So that is probably the part where you need the super titles, I guess. Otherwise, most of them are pretty, like, spread apart from each other, I'd say.
Did you watch videos of them to pick up their voices, their mannerisms, their body language?
Some I did. Some I couldn't really find much. And some I just sort of put it through my own spin of what I would, you know, comically choose. So it's sort of a mishmash of actual research and my own musings.
Did your training as part of the Second City Troupe and later on in Saturday Night Live come in handy in crafting these characters?
Well, it definitely did in terms of, there's definitely like a sketch element to this show, even though it's all verbatim and nothing has been, you know, no jokes have been crafted by Mario. He found the funny lines that were actually said. So, yeah, I guess, you know, the switching back and forth between characters is very sort of Second City SNL-esque. Yeah.
Should I assume that none of the characters involved in this have shown up to see?
Well, actually, no. Funny. In fact, some have. We had some of the congressional pages who IM'd with Mark Foley reached out to us and came to see the show, and they had a really positive response to the show, which we were all very gratified by because that was a very sort of delicate part of our story.
Well, I'm sure many of our listeners have forgotten the details of that. Representative Mark Foley of Florida, who's played by Arnie Burton, was brought down for sending lewd messages to underage male pages. How did the case come to light?
Essentially, the IMs that he was having with one particular page were released to the media. ABC came across them, and they were quite suggestive. And even though Mark Foley, who was a congressman at the time and the chair of the Missing and Exploited Children's Caucus, claimed to never have had physical contact with the pages, they were very suggestive, and he resigned right away. And some of those pages that he IMed with did come to see the show.
Rachel, what did his wife have to say?
Well, Mark Foley didn't have a wife, so that's the one where I played the Miss Germany.
The beard.
The beard, yeah.
But he had a partner, a longtime partner, who was basically hidden from the world, and they'd been together for 22
years.
A male partner, yeah.
There's former Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina, Tom Galantich is his name?
Galantich.
He had the affair with an Argentinian woman that came to light when his staff was unable to reach him, and he claimed he was hiking the Appalachian Trail. Rachel, you play Jenny and his wife, also his mistress, Maria Belen Chapur, and also Barbara Walters interviewing Jenny Sanford. Weird that you're talking to yourself at some points. Was that one of the most fun sections of the play? Because
yeah, that's
they
my
sound
favorite.
So different?
Well, I don't know what it is about that section, but it's my favorite to do. But I don't know. I like doing Barbara Walters and I don't know. I like talking to myself, I guess.
There's a moment when she says that Mark told her he might have a problem with the fidelity part of their marriage vows.
Oh, yeah. In their vows, he said he didn't want to use the word faithful in their wedding vows. And then Barbara says,
shouldn't that have been a sign?
Well, that's what Barbara says. She's like, and when he said I didn't want to use the word faithful, you didn't say, uh-oh.
That still makes me laugh every night Rachel does that.
Isn't that story still evolving? Mr. Sanford recently was elected to represent South Carolina's first election district in Congress. So I guess the people in South Carolina have forgiven him.
Well, not only that, during rehearsal, he broke it off with the Argentinian woman, like while we were like hot off the presses.
Yeah.
So we had to include that in the play because it was happening as we were rehearsing.
We were literally changing it during the previews to keep up with all these events, and that's our plan for the show, to always keep updating it. And Rachel and I were literally sitting down looking at the transcripts from the mistress who'd been just dumped to figure out what were the most interesting lines to include.
So are you hoping that something will happen in the Anthony Weiner story?
Well, I feel like a lot has happened already. You know, that's a constantly sort of moving piece.
You have to update
piece.
That as well?
We updated it to just up until, you know, a few weeks ago. I mean, to include his mayoral run and the things that have happened since then. So, and if anything else happens, we'll include it for sure.
My guests are the playwright and one of the stars of a new play called Tail! Spin! I'm talking about Mariah Correa and Rachel Dratch. Let's talk about Anthony Weiner, played by Nate Smith. That has to be one of the weirdest of all the cases. He got into trouble for sending pictures of his crotch to various women. Was it the most fun segment to do because a New York audience would be most familiar with it?
You know, it's funny. It wasn't the most fun to write because it's very, very complicated. He was IMing and texting and communicating with lots and lots of different women. So it's from a sort of a dramaturgical point of view, it's a very complex scene to put out there. And I learned a lot about this really with Rachel's help. She was encouraging me, I think, during the process, Rachel, I don't remember, but during rehearsal, you were saying, you know, just because every little factual thing happened doesn't mean we need to include it. We really need to remember the arc of it because there was so much complexity. And so we actually took out some characters to make it leaner. So it was quite complex, but it is a very funny scene. I think it's one of the scenes that really sort of brings the audience into our show very early on. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think everything you said is true. Also, that's the one I feel like I always feel a little bad doing the Anthony Weiner section. I don't know if it's because we're in New York or whatever. It's like, who wants, you know, their emails read in front of an audience? Right. I don't know. But for some reason, maybe because he didn't have the, like, you know, Sanford's back in office. Craig, I don't know what happened to him, but he's out in Idaho somewhere. Right. So I don't know.
But it's just the weirdness of the kinds of things he was sending that grabbed the public imagination.
If weirdness. Just, I mean, I have to tell my
sexy
friends,
sexy texts,
don't bring your
it would have
children.
Been different, don't you think?
Well, you know, yeah.
No, they're pretty, I mean, they're pretty down and dirty.
Yeah, there are some very dirty ones. And, you know, but the thing that I always emphasize about our show is that Tailspin is not really about sex as much as it is about power. Because these guys, you know, all of us make mistakes in our personal life. I know I have, you know. But we don't expect to be sort of protected by the system. We think we're going to be culpable for our mistakes. These guys felt that their power would protect them from having to live by the rules that they themselves set as members of Congress.
The women have different problems. His wife, Huma Abedin, was working for Hillary Clinton at the time, and that really affected her career. But then you also play Rachel Sidney Leathers and the former porn star Ginger Lee, two of the women he was so-called communicating with. They probably saw this as career opportunities.
Well, I definitely think Sidney Leathers, who went on to make a movie called Weiner and Me, definitely, you know, use this to her advantage. I don't know. Ginger Lee, actually, it's funny because, you know, I play her up for, like, laughs, like, stereotypical porn star kind of person. But actually, she does – she says she's interested in politics. And she does have some smart things
yeah,
to say.
She's
actually,
dummy.
Like, not a dummy.
Yeah.
Even though I do kind of play her as one.
That's the comedy part.
Yeah.
What about the title, Tail Spin?
I give a lot
a
of
pun. Obviously.
It's a pun because it's T-A-I-L! Spin! And I give credit to my partner Joe Scattergood who helped me come up with that title. And the first, of course, is tail is the reference to the fact that these are the women who, well, the tails are, of course, anyone who goes after tail and spin because all of these guys try to spin these affairs with sometimes cataclysmic results, and we see sort of the press side and the affair side in the show.
Are all the marriages except for Sanford still intact?
No, let's see. Well, let's see. I have to think about that. No, because Lane Nissenbaum, who was the partner of Mark Foley, the congressman who I am'd with the pages, he passed away a couple of years ago. So I guess the other ones are intact, though. The Craigs are still together. You know, Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner are supposedly still together. So, yeah, they've held on.
Is this an open run? It's been extended
until February
1st
at the Lynn Redgrave Theater, and folks can check us out at tailspinshow.com.
And what are your plans after that, Rachel?
Oh, I don't know. I never know. I don't know. I did a pilot and wait and see what happens. You never know. It's acting life. What's around the corner? Something always pops up.
Do you have another play in the works, Mary?
I do, actually. I'm working on a play that's almost finished. It's about a gay politician who runs for president and what a campaign of a gay politician for president would look like. And
ooh,
it's a fictionalized one.
That sounds interesting.
It's not verbatim. I need to think of a role for you, Rach.
Get Barbara Walters in there.
Yes,
no,
for sure.
I've got more range than just that. I'll think of something else.
Well, you've been getting such great reviews for this, Rachel. I'm assuming that when you get reviews like that, people just start flooding you with offers.
Oh, of course, Leonard. Let me go through my books here, shuffling papers. No, I don't know how that all works. I don't know. I guess it's good to be, you know, I'm kind of trying to crack into the theater scene here. So, I mean, I started out in Chicago in theater, but it's good to be, you know, out in the theater world of New York.
You know, for us, it's such a gift because, you know, Rachel is such an, I mean, people love Rachel. But by the same token, I feel like what she's doing every night in our show is different than what you've done elsewhere, too. And I think it's so great that folks in New York are discovering, rediscovering Rachel's talent and all the amazing reviews she's gotten are well-deserved.
Oh,
and
thanks.
Because you could easily have been pegged as that Saturday Night Live woman.
I guess so. I don't know if that's a bad thing, though.
No,
I know what you're saying. But actually, in this, like, I do feel a little SNL-y in this show, so I don't want to make it seem like I'm up there doing, you know, Madea or something. I mean, the classic, not Tyler Perry's Madea, because that I would love to do.
That's sort of in our show.
Please get me in that franchise.
Haven't you also been spending a lot of time as a mom lately?
I have, yeah. That's how I spend most of my time. It's pretty fun.
The thing that I guess surprises the audience the most is your ability to shift from one character to another so quickly. Is that something? Do you have tricks for doing that?
Not really. I don't know. Do I have tricks?
I think it's your facial expressions that are an amazing thing. Because we used to have little props. Like, for example, Jenny Sanford would wear a headband to be Jenny, and then Rach would take it off to be Barbara. And we realized we don't need to take off any props because it's just your face. We know just by your face and voice what you're doing. It's so evocative.
Thank you. I'm evocative.
We have ticket information on our show page at WNYC.org. And Tailspin is at the Lynn Redgrave Theater at the Culture Project. It's at 45 Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village. Thank you both so much for being on our show. And you want to mention the other members of the cast?
Sure. We've got Arnie Burton, Tom Galantich, Sean Dugan, and who am I forgetting?
Nate Smith.
Oh, my gosh. Nate
Wiener.
Yeah.
And we thank both of you, Rachel
thank
Dratch
you.
And Mario Correa, for being on our show today.
Thanks, Leonard.
Thanks.